Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Friday, everybody. Today we're going to take a look at the sun's upcoming conjunction with Pluto and get everybody ready for it. So let's put up the real-time clock and take a look. Here you can see, let me put this back a few days. I've been looking at it and forgot to reset. So here we go. Here is the sun conjoining with Pluto in the next 2 days. So if we move this clock forward to January 16th, you will see the sun conjoining with Pluto in Capricorn on Sunday, January 16th. By Monday, we will be exploring the full moon in Cancer, which will be happening in an opposition to that sun-Pluto conjunction, which will just be fading. So today I want to get everybody ready for sun-Pluto by talking a little bit about the archetypal combination of the two planets, a little bit of a meditation prepared on the subject. I hope you guys will enjoy it. Don't forget, as this transit passes through, please use that hashtag grabbed and tell us which transit. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's another one in the past week or two. And tell us a story. We're going to share some of those stories probably next week. So trying to reload the queue here full of good stories. We need your help. If you ever want to email rather than share in the chat box, just email us grabbed at nightlightastrology.com. We don't respond to those emails. We just aggregate them for storytelling hour. So we'd love to hear from you guys and see how the planets have been showing up in your lives. Okay, so Sun Pluto. The sun was associated with spirit and spirit with the daimon. The daimon is like a soul guide that carries us along toward the ideal image that our life is conforming around, right? And there's not just one, there's many. Think about it. In marriage, I remember a time in my life where one of my major visions for my life was marriage and children and a family. And okay, so I have that now. So the image isn't the same. There's different things that I'm looking at, for example, having good relationships with my kids, or, you know, continuing to develop intimacy and love and maintaining a marriage over many years. So the images of what we want or what we desire change in different areas of our life. Professionally, you want to get the job and then you get it. And then maybe you want a promotion, or eventually maybe the goal is to work in a job that you like more. Maybe it's to work for yourself or whatever. The changing field of images that attract us, and the energy and action needed to move along a plot line toward the image that attracts us. That is properly the realm of the sun, and also the realm of the daimon, the guiding spirit, which is itself, you could think of it as a guiding spirit moving us toward the image. You could also think of the spirit as the image itself. Images attract us, and they're living and dynamic, and they change. So certain spirits are like that too. They live in our minds, and we think of them as my image, my desire, my ambition. It's actually a spirit that's visiting you that you're very attracted to. It's one of the ways ancient philosophers thought about it. So at any rate, the most important thing to remember about the images that draw us along, and we all have them, but the main thing is that they all cast themselves in gold. They are all one of the reasons. How do they attract us? You know, it's like moths to the flame. How do they attract us along? An image, a desire, an ambition, a plot line in any area of our life, multiple plot lines, changing plot lines, they all attract us because they appear as if in gold, surrounded by halos of light. They glow, right? They have this aura, this effulgence around them. And that's what attracts us. That's why the sun is related to the ideal image. And it's always a sense of it being a noble pursuit, or it's something that we go after, like, you know, gold fever, you know, is that what it was called? So we go after it though, because it's alluring, it's attractive. There's something about it that we feel is noble and you know, I want to win, you know, it's like, I want my team to win the Super Bowl, right? It's a trophy and it's like, you know, radiating an aura around it. The confetti's falling. And there's this golden sense of achievement. So the sun, well, whatever ambitions we have, however subtle or however gross, they will be what they are in terms of an image and an actual objective, but they will also be cast in a certain kind of light. That is very important to properly understanding the sun, especially when we start to consider what it means that the sun is going to come into a conjunction with Pluto. Because what is Pluto? Well, Pluto, one of the things that Pluto is going to do is put us in touch with the shadow, right? So every light casts a shadow. And in the shadow of every image that we are attracted to is some darkness. Let me talk a little bit about the hexagram I drew this morning for the Sun Pluto, which is so quintessentially Sun Pluto. It's number 55. It's called Abundance. I'm just going to read you a little excerpt from this hexagram. The king attains it because large in amount and scale is what he advocates. So this is a picture of the sun at midday and the attainment of an ideal state, governmentally or in terms of wealth or some kind of a goal that's been reached, the sun at midday. However, the hexagram says, the sun will descend after midday and the moon will wane after it reaches fullness. Fullness and descent between the heavens and earth vary over time, to say nothing of humans, ghosts, and gods. Isn't that a beautiful teaching? So don't be, as my friend of mine, my buddy Vincent once recently wrote, he said, you can be blinded by the light as well. And I thought, that's a good quote. I threw in the rest of the lyrics to Blinded by the Light. He was like, you can be blinded by the light. And I typed to him privately on IG. I was like, you can be revved up like a deuce. Anyway, you know. So, but we got to laugh out of that. But he was, you know, he's right. And I like that quote from him that he shared on his Instagram, because this is a quintessential teaching in Taoism, in ancient astrology, in the I Ching, in the Bhagavad Gita. In many places, we see that, don't forget, like half our lives is casted in the, you know, the fool's gold of nobility. You know, how many things, and I'm joking because I'm thinking of myself. How many things in our lives are we like, this is good that I'm doing this. This is noble. You know, this is virtuous that I'm doing this. This thing that I'm doing is giving me some good sense of myself. You know, I'm cast in light because I'm ennobled by the things that I do, or the things that I'm pursuing. They're right there. It's my calling. I haven't found my calling yet is the most popular phrase that I have in of my astrology clients, probably in 12 years now of doing readings, going on 12 years. The most popular thing I've heard, literally my client could be 78 years old and they will be like, I just don't feel like I found my calling. Why? Why is it so hard to find our calling? Aside from the fact that when you're little, you know, we're, you know, at least in the modern West, it's like we're taught, you know, here's your happy meal. And then, you know, just select your special calling and just go believe in it and go do it, you know, and it rarely works out that way, right? Because our karma qualifies us for things, as it turns out. And sometimes it qualifies us, most of the time, it qualifies us for realizing some dreams and goals and ambitions and being frustrated after we have a lot of them also, and also never getting a lot of them. So, but nonetheless, let's read that one more time. Just, it's just so beautiful. The sun will descend after midday and the moon will wane after it reaches fullness. Fullness and descent between the heavens and earth vary over time, to say nothing of humans, ghosts, and gods. So one of the things we have to be very careful of, because Pluto, like Hades, exposes the shadow. What is the shadow of the sun? It's death. It's the death of whatever we cast in light. In this world, remember, you have to remember that the ancients believed that this dimension of reality that we're in, the earthly plane, it's not, well, it's bad and the other realm is good or something. This is one of innumerable realms of consciousness and experience in reality. And the ultimate spiritual goal is not to stay here and perfect something here, because the idea is that you learn things, but you move on. You're a traveler. You keep moving on. There's different realms of experience, and it, as it turns out, it's a very difficult place to realize the perfection that the soul seeks, the ultimate light, you could see the ultimate image cast in light, all the ultimate goals, happiness, love, beauty, truth, all of these things that the soul seeks cannot be found or held in anything material, because in this realm, this particular dimension of experience, everything is coming to be and passing away, coming to be and passing away. Everything that's full is emptied again. So be careful that you don't cast the goal in a material light, which is to say, okay, let's say, you know, for example, these are the things that I've learned so far. I don't know about you, but when I was a little bit younger, I thought, well, you know, marriage, a family, it'll be like, you know, I'll be resting with my feet up by a fireplace, hopefully, and all will be well. And then kids hit you like a bomb. And then you find out that, you know, marriage takes a lot of work once you're like post 10 years or post 20 years or whatever the case might be. And then you realize that not that those aren't, they don't continue to be sources of joy, but you realize this thing never ends, right? I'm just going to die eventually too. So, and then, you know, no one's going to, I mean, most of the human beings on this planet, this is the hard truth. Most of the human beings on this planet that have lived and died already will never be remembered again, are not being remembered currently, have no one remembering them for what some great thing that they did or accomplished. So isn't it safe to say that at least part of the cosmic scheme has to be that it's not a, your dignity, your sanctity, your beauty as a soul is not dependent upon you doing something really heroic that makes people remember you forever? I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. The reason I'm putting it out there is to get into the Sun-Pluto territory, that Pluto exposes what's in the shadow of our noble ambition, which is, in a sense, if it's anything material, that the material is fool's gold, that the things that we're doing, however noble, are phony, that there's and again, is it bad to want a family? No, it's not about saying, oh, our desires are bad or evil, or, you know, you should just sit in a hot sauna and think about God or something. You know, it's like, it's not like that, but it is to understand that a lot of what we pursue in our lives is it will deceive us, because it will be cast in a kind of light. Remember, the natural opposite of the sun in the astrological, in the early astrological philosophy is Saturn, the ruler of feigned appearances and the ruler of the opposition. And so for every sun, the shadow is Saturn, darkness. Before there's Pluto, in other words, there's Saturn. And what we have to understand is that when we to spiritualize our lives means that our goals become spiritual. They still have a light, but that light illuminates the different areas of our life in a completely different way than a material goal does. It glitters differently. And that's a really subtle distinction to make sometimes, because it's possible to have even spiritual goals in our life that are actually subtly just material goals. And you can go into a space of doubting everything. We don't want to necessarily go down that path either. It's easy to, in other words, just doubt that, you know, I've known people in my life, especially, you know, when I was younger, and I think just more cynical and into indie rock or whatever. Sorry. So, but anyway, you know, I remember there's a phase where it's like, I just didn't trust, everything was bullshit. You know what I mean? And that's not necessarily where we want to go either. We have to be able to differentiate between a spiritual purpose for our lives and the things that are cast in some kind of noble light. And that's not easy to do. And I'm not here today to tell you, you know, exactly what it is and isn't. And I'm just saying that the Pluto Sun experience, just very similar to a Pluto Saturn or a Sun Saturn experience, the Pluto Sun experience can be very much about showing us what lives in the shadow of our gilded ambitions, of our gold plated sense of goodness or nobility. And this is something that this specific hexagram in the I Ching, number 55, talks about at length. There are a number of lines in this hexagram that suggest that we can literally be blinded by the light of some noble intention that really is just about as worldly as anything else. Well, the Bhagavad Gita tells us the same thing. in chapter 14, verse 9, when Krishna is teaching Arjuna about the modes or energies of material nature. Now, remember, material nature, prakriti, maya, it's a divine nature. It's an energy of God. It's a realm that we come to learn and grow through. It's not evil, right? But you have to understand its nature so that you don't get lost in it, because it's easy to get lost in the glittering stuff here that doesn't actually point you home. And this is part of how the soul learns, is in some ways by getting entangled and lost in it. And that's okay. That's why grace, that's why this same name for this world, Maya, also means mercy, because it's merciful to learn in this way, to allow us to get entangled and chasing all sorts of, you know, gold-plated ideals, only to find out, well, I guess it didn't make me ultimately happy. That's okay. It's okay that we do that. But here's what he says. He says, the mode of goodness, that's called sattva, sattva guna, these are called the gunas. The mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion, the mode of passion, conditions people to the fruits of action. And ignorance conditions people to madness. So goodness, passion, and ignorance are the three modes. Passion, let's just talk about passion for a second, because passion is also related to the sun. You could say that the noble ideal is something that I strive for passionately, but specifically so that I can enjoy the fruits of that action and those ambitions. And unfortunately, the fruits are temporary. So they may satisfy for a little bit, but then we're back on the hamster wheel. So passion is like a hamster wheel. I'm chasing after things that take a lot of work and action and passion. And then I'm enjoying the fruits, and then kind of satiated. Then I'm bored, or I'm full and I need more. And then I have to go do more. So that's passion. Ignorance, tamas, is just not having any ideals. You know, imagine if you had no, I mean, in a sense, it's better that we have some ideals, even if they're just gold plated delusions, than having none whatsoever and sinking into a massive beanbag chair of Budweiser and Doritos or something. You know what I mean? So the mode of goodness, however, is still a mode that we can be conditioned by. And it's the subtlest and sometimes even the sneakiest. Now, you would prefer the mode of goodness to the mode of passion even. But the mode of goodness is like, well, I value peace and harmony, tranquility and happiness, joy, right? But the thing is that in this world, even sattvic, the sattvic mode of material nature, even that mode of happiness waxes and wanes, it comes and goes. Everything does. All the energies, all the gunas are constantly blending with one another, mixing and mingling in the same way that the Taoists describe. And so what does Sun and Pluto do? It says, one of the things that it has the potential to do is show us in this area of your life right here, you are aimed passionately toward results that are only temporary, and you keep getting attracted to it like a moth to the fire because it's bright and shiny in your mind. Try to see the shadow in it, not so that you can feel foolish and dumb and become some kind of austere renunciate. No, so that you can start to refine what you're attracted to. And you know what? One of the things that most spiritual traditions say is that the spiritualized version of a desire is one that desires a state of virtue in and of itself, for itself, and not for anything other. So for example, rather than saying, like right now, if I think to myself, well, I want to make sure my kids do well through school and get to a good college and right like this, I might have some of those goals or ambitions, but perhaps a simple way of reeling it back in for myself would be to say today, just today, maybe even in the next half of my day, I want to be a loving father. I want to be an attentive husband, not because it makes me good, but because it just feels good to be in that space, even temporarily. See, I'm starting to move up from passion, rajas, like got a hamster wheel, get the kids to college, do all the stuff. And I'm moving into what's the tranquility of the day? And as we continue to refine our sense of what we desire, eventually we get to the, in at least in Bhakti philosophy, but it's very similar. You see very similar thinking in Hermetic philosophy and Platonic philosophy, and other schools too. You get to love. And love is changing from goal orientation to relational orientation, which means we are concerned with the fostering of, the caring of, the deepening of, and the ongoing nature of relating to people without any goal other than the fostering of love and connection. That as a goal, you can't target that in the same light in a futuristic way with certain objectives, because as soon as you do, you start losing the connection with the other living being. So one of the things that Bhakti tells us, Bhakti Yoga and Sufism shares many similar sentiments, mystical Christianity, I believe Buddhism at its heart in terms of how we relate to other human beings says the same thing. Stop thinking about goals all the time. Stop thinking about the nobleness of your aspirations and be simple, be humble, be kind and loving. Practice that today and try to taste what it's like to be in that kind of relationship with other people. And of course, even that, it's possible for us to start slapping that on our vision board and putting, you know, golden, sparkly, glittery stuff, nail polish, I don't know what, around it, you know? And we don't want to go into the space of saying, well, anything and everything that you ever want to do is just selfish, right? Because that's a trap too. But Sun Pluto can just put us in touch with the hidden or secret shadow or selfishness of the golden desire or ambition that's lurking beneath the surface. So that's kind of the thing I wanted to focus on today. What does the I Ching tell us? Hexagram 55, it says, conceal the brightness of your own good intentions. Conceal the brightness of your own good intentions. Conceal your insights. Conceal your achievements, your realization, your success, your noble aspirations. Conceal it from others and conceal it even from yourself. That just sounds weird. I'll never forget. One time I was in India and my guru was giving a class. And we were on pilgrimage, and he said, as one of the things, because a lot of people were sharing realizations, you know, because they tend to pour in when you're in a spiritual, you know, retreat or something. And he was listening very carefully and not at all, you know, in a condescending way. He said, one thing that a lot of the great spiritual teachers in the yogic tradition have said is, you have these insights or realizations and you become so excited by them, but then you can't enjoy them because you get blinded by the excitement. You get blinded by the realization or the insight. You get blinded by the light. Hide the light so you can enjoy it. And he said basically that. He said, hide your own insights and realizations that you're having here, even from yourself, so that your soul can deeply enjoy them. It's like, thank you. I really needed that because, you know, I'm sitting there like, okay, all these insights, I'm journaling. I've got my next book. I've got blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to set this journal down. I'm going to sit down and just try to let some of the, you know, the experience of being on pilgrimage and the shift that it can create that happens at yoga retreats all the time. I see it all the time. Over the years, we did so many yoga retreats with people and insights come up. They do. And callings in our life come up. They do. The sense of a noble calling professional. Here's something I can do that matters. Here's something I can do to serve. Here's something that gives my life a sense of purpose. I'm attracted to an image and we're here to live out those. I mean, it's a choose your own adventure book and there's lots of choices and there's lots of beautiful images and twists and turns and all of that's, it's all good. It's all okay. But here's the advice. Be like the sun at midday. Know that the setting will come. No matter at the outset, in other words, if there's an ideal in our lives, we're going to pursue it. Know that eventually, you know, that image that we're pursuing is it'll run out of steam. The image will flicker and vanish. And then there'll probably be a new image. If you keep that in mind, in my experience, it doesn't defeat or deflate the different actions and journeys and adventures that we have in our lives. It keeps them in perspective. It keeps us humble, and it allows us to really taste and savor the experiences that we have. And we allow something of eternal value to come through because we know that they're temporary. Isn't that a giant paradox? Everyone says it everywhere. It's the journey, not the destination. How many times is that repeated? How simple it is to forget, though, you know? Okay, there's an image that's caught me. Golden, sparkly firelight, noble, like a lion, like a queen or king, you know, just know I'm going to do this thing. Just don't forget as you do it that it will vanish someday. So enjoy every step of the way. You know, that's in part what it means to start living with eternity in mind. Let's talk about just briefly the word enjoy. Conceal the brightness of your goodness. Conceal the brightness of your good intentions. Conceal your noblest insights and achievements, even if they are really noble, right? I'm not saying that they're not. Your realizations, your bright success, your hope. It's not that you don't have hope, but conceal it even from yourself so that you can enjoy it. The word enjoy, to give joy, to take delight in, to take pleasure in, to give pleasure. So we have to also know that the sun was related to joy. The sun is related to, you know, I mean, isn't that what motivates us to do something when an image captures us? Isn't there an sense of enthusiasm? You know that etymology. I've shared it many times. Enthusiasm from entheos, the God within. We're breathed. There's new life that's breathed into us, and we feel happy and joyful to pursue something, to take off on some kind of journey. We feel joy. But also, the secret to joy is apparently, according to the I Ching, that to know that the joy you're getting from the image that's been given, that you're pursuing, will set, it will fade, it will die. So conceal the brightness of your goodness so that you can enjoy, give pleasure to your soul. These are Sun Pluto teachings, one of many. There's so many different things to say about the Sun and Pluto. For example, it can also mean that there's a major plot twist in your life generally. It can mean that your sense of ambition is going through some kind of death and rebirth. It can point to the death or downfall of solar figures, old men, leaders, CEOs, kings or queens. But, you know, it can speak to fame and scandal. It can speak to things coming to the surface that have been hidden. So there's lots of things it can represent. But today I thought we'd talk about those gold-plated images and the potential to be blinded by the light. And thanks to my buddy Vincent for mentioning this week, and also for tolerating my bad sense of humor. So, you can also be revved up like a deuce. You know how long it took me to realize that those were the words of the song too? I was always like something. Definitely that song among the biggest bloopers of my life in terms of not knowing the lyrics of the song for like most of my life, but always singing it. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'd love to hear your Sun Pluto stories as they come up. So please feel free to come back and share them. Use the hashtag grabbed or email us, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Love all of you guys. See y'all on Monday for the full moon. Bye.